Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to help us along the way. Now, Father, as we get into your word, let us hear your word, Father, not ours, but yours, so that we can see the truth and the depth and learn more of how to walk in your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You just missed seeing the lady I had to talk to. She just went out the back door. Huh? Yeah, just about time he walked in the front.
So was you wearing anything?
Well,
church,
I'm sorry. I don't hide anything. She's not really against anything. I'll tell you a little more about it after the services. But at least it did let me know something, find out some things that I needed to know. All right. Gonna be talking to you. So we're going to finish going through the book of Romans. We started through it and then kind of got away from it for a couple of services. But I want to get back into it and see if we can't get on through this book of Romans here in the next little bit. Not today, naturally. Because we're going to be in chapter 10. Beginning here with verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went out, went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now we ask for the Holy Spirit to come forward to bring to you and I the message that Christ would have each one of us to receive this evening. All right. As we back up here, take a look at this. Paul here is telling them, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We know to this day, Israel, as Israel, has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some Jews that have, yes. And there's several million of them. But as a nation, they haven't accepted him. They're still trying to live by the law. And you know, I've never understood why they just keep holding on to that and trying to live by something that they have never lived by. Because they never did keep it. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, was because they wasn't keeping what they were supposed to keep. And God was making a way so that they could be saved. And yet they rejected his son when he sent him. And they're still rejecting him for the most part. Now there are two Jewish organizations on TV that I do listen to. Two rabbis I listen to preach, and they are both good, and they are both men of God. A lot of people won't listen to them because they do use a lot of Jewish words. Most of the time, they don't call our Lord and Savior Jesus. They call him Yeshua. Because that's the Jewish name for him. But in verse 2 he says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And this is what is happening around our nation today and in our churches. They go to church, they have their meetings, and they'll tell you they love the Lord Jesus, but yet they won't spend time in learning his word and learning how to walk in his will and his way. They want to do everything according to their own way with that me and I business. What I want to do. Instead of making a commitment and making that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and telling him, "I want you into my life. I want to walk in accordance with God's word, not the ways of this world." They don't do that. Because if most of them did, they'd find themselves in a lot of big trouble. Because they don't keep it. Verse 3 says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." He's used that word righteousness 3 times in that one sentence. Or that one verse, rather. Verse 3. Letting us know that it is really important for all of us to walk in righteousness. I can't live for God by living the ways of this world out here, and neither can you. Now, you can live the ways of this world, but if you do, then you ain't going to be living for God. And we're told that in so many different ways. Here in verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." We don't live under the law. That's what we are freed from. When the scripture tells you and I that when Jesus sets us free, we are free indeed. That's what he's freeing us from.
Yeah.
He's freeing us from the law. And we can't live by it. 5. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." You see, if we were going to live by the law, one thing, if you really look at one thing and you do it for a righteous thing, then you have to keep the whole law. They couldn't do it, so why? What would make us think we can? But a lot of them out here are trying it. A lot of our preachers are preaching it.
What's it? You pay one part righteous in one area, right? You can be righteous in every area?
That's right.
Okay.
You see, we're told several times through the New Testament that we can't live by the law. And if we live one thing, see, that's why those Judaizers that was following Paul, they was only trying to get them to do one thing that they didn't have to do in order to bring them back under the law. That was circumcision. Now, we circumcise our male children today, most people do, but they don't do it because of religion. They do it because of health. Because if they done it, because, well, now I've got to have my male son circumcised because that's what the Bible told me to do, then I have to keep the whole law. And this was how they was giving Paul so much problem in his church in his day and time. Now, in our day and time, they look at us and just, they call us everything, really. We're called foolish. We're called being mad. We're called being wrong. They say, they claim everything against us today. And it's getting worse. It's going to continue to get worse. But as I said this morning, we do have a revival coming that is going to be one of the greatest revivals in the history of mankind. How long that revival lasts, I have no idea. And where all it will go to, we don't know. Only God knows. But he's still after mankind. Because God loves you. Even if you're one of the worst sinners, God still loves you. He's still wanting you. And he will still call you. But then you have a choice. And you can choose whether you're going to serve him or not serve him. And we sure got a lot of them that ain't doing it. In fact, we got very few that are really willing to put the time in and serve God like they should. Now, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. These things are not yours and I to really look at and make judgment calls about. We don't know. We don't know who's going to heaven. There may be some that we think will make it, that don't.
And the thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
He didn't get baptized.
So no.
It's not for us.
Well, it's just not for us to make the judgment calls that way. Yes, I do know that if you are living in this day and time, in order for you to be born again, what it takes, because God's word tells us. Well, they don't even keep that, so for the most part. And yes, it does take baptism. Because without baptism, you don't put Jesus on. Oh, now, Pastor, that's an awful statement. No, it's true. Sixth chapter of Romans tells you that. It tells you exactly what happens to you when you are baptized. You are baptized into that water because you are being buried with him. You're being buried with him in his death. You're putting on his death and his resurrection. That's the way you put him on.
But I think the thing with the world today is a lot of hypocrisy and demonizing going on it because you, today, especially in America with race, but all men have come short of the glory of God. So, right, we've all done evil in our past. Right? So we can't really hold people's past against them to shut them up.
No, we don't hold their past against them. God does that. That's what I'm saying. You and I can't judge.
I understand that.
So that's what I'm saying. But we can't hold the past against them. Because right now, even while they're still here on this earth, Christ is not holding that against them. And he won't hold that against them until they step out of this life. Then they'll know. Because we can all change. Because God will call every man born. And his word tells us he does. Now they choose to walk another way. But they know. Even growing up as a kid, you know a lot of things that are right and wrong. And you choose to do a lot of things that ain't right. Because that's that sin nature that you got to get rid of. And we do know that we do have to get rid of that old sin nature of mankind. As long as we've got that, we're not going to make heaven our home. Now, here in verse 7, he says, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. So see, we have no way of knowing where anyone is really going. But I've been, as you were talking there a few minutes ago, Kenny, about the thief on the cross.
Yeah.
I've had that thrown at me so many times. Well, you see, you don't have to be baptized.
Well, I didn't bring it up for that.
No, I know what I said.
But see, he was condemned to death. My point was, we could write him off like people going to prison. We could say, well, they're off on burn for eternity because they got convicted.
So they're using it right now. They are using that.
Yeah.
It's been thrown at me, I don't know how many times.
You
see, he wasn't baptized, so you don't have to be baptized. And he was already convicted, and he was on the cross. And yet Jesus took him. He was also of another time period.
Yeah, I understand that.
I know.
I know what
I'm saying. Well, I'm just saying, so that others that's hearing this can understand it.
Right.
You know, no, he was still under the days of the law. The church age had not started yet. And he asked Jesus in person to forgive him, and Jesus did right then. And took him with him.
Because he believed.
Yep. That is because he believed. That's the thing. We have to have faith in order to walk in the word of Almighty God. Without faith, we're not going anywhere. And this is another reason that everybody ought to be in church every time they can be there, is because that's the way we learn. That's the way we build our faith. Because faith comes by hearing. And how does hearing come? By the word of God. And as the scripture says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach unless he be sent? You see, that's another problem we do have today. We've got too many out here trying to preach the gospel or preach and keep the church going, but has no idea. of what to do or say, because they have never really sat down and studied the Word of Almighty God. I'm not talking about reading it. A lot of people has read it. And when I was growing up, I can remember Mom and Dad talking about it. I was about six, seven years old at the time. We had a man that lived in the little town where I live that had read the Bible so much that you could open the Bible anywhere you wanted to open, start a verse and stop. He could finish that verse for you, tell you exactly where it was at. Had no idea of the meaning. But he could quote that Bible almost word for word, the whole thing. And he was living for the day he would get a chance to kill a man. So how much of it did he understand? None.
And he died without ever getting a chance to kill that man that he wanted to kill. But there is a lot of people that we know, and some that we think are awful good Christians, that may not be able to make heaven their home. And then there's some out there that we think, well, you know, he might be close, but I don't think he'd ever make it in. It just may be right there, one of the first ones in. That's why we're told not to judge. Because we don't know, only God knows. And he knows everything we do. We don't hide nothing from God. We may hide it from mankind and get away with it. But God knows all about it. Now, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's what we're supposed to be preaching. And it should be in every church. And we need our churches to all come together, take these walls down, and start getting together, praying with each other and for each other, and getting into God's word and preaching his word and leaving the things of this world out of it. And not just get up and because, well, I've got a college education and I've been through seminary and I've got these great big words and I can get up here and I can talk real fast and I can tell you stories. It ain't got nothing to do with God's word, but I can sure keep you interested. And that's what most are doing. Now, Nine, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart. You see, we have to speak the word, and we also have to believe in the heart, not just the mind, but it's got to be in the heart. That God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because you see, until you really believe that he was born the Son of God, till you believe that he died and was resurrected, and until you begin to believe in his word, nothing's going to be done. Another thing. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's how we get righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made
unto salvation. We're told to speak to everything. If you need healing, you have to speak to your body and claim that healing, or you ain't ever going to get it. And whatever we need, when we go to the Lord, we speak about that to God. Lord, I need this, or Lord, I'm looking for this. And we tell him. And then he tells us that if we are his children, that whatsoever we ask, believing we receive, we shall receive it. That's where faith comes in. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And I have seen so many in my time afraid to get up and go and pray for somebody because in their mind they're thinking, well, I go over there and I pray for that one to be healed and it ain't done, everybody gonna laugh at me. And they don't do it. And they miss out on their blessings because they're ashamed. That's what it amounts to. That's being ashamed. God knows all about it. He knows about it before you go. But if it's been on your heart to go and pray for them, there's been a reason for that. Go do it. It may not be done right that minute. It may take it a while down the road. It may be several days or even weeks. But it'll happen. I've seen too much of it work. Had a nurse try to get me fired from my work at the hospital. How'd you like to have that done to you? All because you was doing something good. Brought an old black man in. He had been so mistreated. They had to take brushes to wash him and get him clean. And they put him in the hallway with just a curtain around him because all the beds were full. I was coming down the hall. An old man laying in there and he said, I know you. Yes, sir. I know you. That's all he would say, but just over and over and over. And I walked up, went back up where he was at, walked up right side of his bed. I looked at him. He was laying there looking. I know you. Yes, sir, I know you. I reached out and got him by the hand. I told him, I said, yeah, Pop, you know him. And he knows you. I stood there and held the man's hand while he died. That nurse went and told the front office, and I went back there and talked the old man into dying. Tried her best getting me fired. And all I done was to be somebody with him, to hold his hand while he stepped out of this life. And no doubt that old man knew him. I have no doubt of that. That old man knew him. Been very few that I could really say things like that about. But there is a few that you knew. They did know him. Now, 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Well, you and I are the ones that are considered Greek. because we're Gentile people. There's no difference in us today. Because you see, when we do truly become born again, we have been brought into God's family. And we're just the same as they are. No difference. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
But when you call, you better be honest about it. You better be sincere. And you better be walking with him. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Boy, we got a lot of that going on today, ain't we?
Yeah.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That I just told you a few minutes ago. See, here it is, wrote in God's word. It wasn't mine. It was his. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And you want to know what God thinks about you as a preacher that has been sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God thinks your feet's even beautiful when you walk with him.
Yeah.
You see? 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? Well, we know in Isaiah's day, a lot of them didn't, because they don't have what you and I've got today. God has gave you and I things that before the Lord Jesus Christ, no man had. We have the deity of the Godhead living in us if we belong to him. He is in you if you're his and you're in him. That's why we can accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. Because it ain't us. It's him. That's living inside me. He told me, oh, you go over and pray for that one. That one's time to be healed. Go over and pray for it. I don't have to worry about it. Just go do it. Because he's going to do his work. He done told me. He told me that when he sent me. Because he wasn't going to do it, he wouldn't have sent me over there to do it. And I've seen that happen several times in my life and in my lifetime. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, he's told us. Verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. He was talking about the nation of Israel now, here in that verse 19. And we do know that God used the Gentile people to make the Jews jealous. Because up until the day of Pentecost, the Gentile people didn't know anything about God. They hadn't been told anything about him. They were idol worshipers. But he used us because his own had rejected him. Is he through with Israel? No. There's a day coming when all of Israel will be saved. All of them. The Word tells us so. But right now, they're still away from him. They're still rejecting him. Still, most of them living by and under the law. I listened to the pastor for the Jewish voice. And then I listened to the rabbi that preaches. I've got an organization set up that is called the Jewish Jesus. And both of them are pretty good preachers. And they've got a pretty good following, both of them. They're both on television. But we know that Israel itself is still away and still rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and grain-saying people.
Amen.
He's letting us know right there how disobedient mankind has gotten and gotten away from him.
Gainsaying means contradicting.
Uh-huh.
Or arguing.
Now, we're going to stop there for the evening. And maybe we can pick up there once more come Thursday. Now I'm praying. I want you all to pray with me for it. That Tuesday, things will be right at Beehive till I can get in. It's been 2 weeks now that I've not been able to get in there for Bible study because of this virus.
Tell them what Beehive is.
Beehive?
Tell them you're on one.
Oh, yeah. Beehive is an assisted living place. For people that need help. And Beehive right now has got, the last time I was there, they had 18, which is just about their capacity, plus the help, you know. But I've been holding Bible study there at 2 o'clock on Tuesday evening. The last 2 weeks I couldn't get in on account of they had that virus going. I still don't understand why it's not against the law to take virus cases out of the hospital and put them into assisted living places where the people can't get away from it. But that's exactly what they're doing. At one time, they had 5 cases. And they're doing the same thing with the nursing home. They gave it to my wife. And then she got over it. In fact, really, she never did have even any symptoms of it. But they said she had it. But anyway, she got over it. Then her roommate got it. And they left her in the room again with it. Don't make much sense, does it? But thank God she didn't catch it. So, all right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we do thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we lift them up and pray that the Holy Spirit will keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them, because right now, Father, we know they're not having any peace. Rockets coming in every day. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours, a land that without any excuse has turned its back and walked so far away from Jesus. And Father, help us to replace those in our government that stands against the church and against Jesus. Help us to replace them with those that will work for the church and for Jesus and work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one, Father. Make them whole. Heal them. But most of all, Father, talk with them. Lead them down that pathway of righteousness. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, myself, James Taylor, we all stand in need, Father. May the Holy Spirit fulfill those needs. Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, and his wife Tina, our brothers in Christ in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie. Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, all these churches, we pray that they become lighthouses to the community in which they stand, and also a place of refuge to where those walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Montville and her mother, Sue, David, Palance, Kelly Smith and his wife, Millie Johnson, her son, Bobby. Father, all of these, they stand in need of the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Touch them, Father, in a mighty and great way. Make them whole. Get them back in to your house, Father. Make their lives straight and fill them, Father, with thy Holy Spirit. This church, Father, it's in your hands. Make it what you want it to be, Father. Use us. Guide us. In all of this, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, everyone. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again come Thursday evening at 5 p.m. So until then, Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night, all.